Okay, let's roll off into hour number two. We have a lot of updates for you, and let's get started. Are you there? You, sitting in
Me.
The corner. Yeah, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Dry your tears. Everything's okay. She didn't get her steak dinner tonight, and she's upset.
Oh, God.
All right. Now, you know, a lot of people do that. Steak. Oh, they're actually steak and eggs. Remember that one?
I thought that was
for breakfast. It
yep.
is breakfast.
For some people.
I don't know. And I had lobster, I think, once in my life. It was pretty good, as I remember it. But you explained to me what lobsters are, and I never want lobster again. You've ruined that.
Well, they're the marine equivalent of cockroaches.
Okay, enough said. I got it the first time. So, yeah, but I remember it was pretty good. Except I have a little trouble walking into a restaurant and picking one out of the tank and having them go and cook it right there. It kind of seemed a little bit primordial to me, but whatever. Here's the deal. If you remember at the beginning of the so-called special military operation of the Russian Federation in Ukraine to try to solidify the peace and security of the Russian-speaking peoples in the Donbass, what was found there early on were a number of U.S. paid-for biological weapons laboratories. I think there were 40, I'm going to guess at 45. Weren't there 40-something that they found? 40? It was over 40.
I think it went up to 60 eventually, ultimately.
Right, but it started out in the mid-40s,
yeah.
Something
sure.
like that. I want to talk just a little bit about that. Those labs may have been captured by the Russians. In some cases, they were, and there was a lot of documentation that the Russians have not released, and they have it, proving a lot of rather heinous and ugly, vile things that this government is doing with your tax dollars. And wherever you are around the world, I'm sure you probably look at bioweapons about the same way after we've having all walked together through the last 3 years of this horrible coronavirus nightmare. Now they're getting ready to hit us again. We have much more on that later. But the biological weapons labs in Ukraine did not go away. They're still there. Make no mistake about it. And those that they lost in the East have probably been recreated in the West. All right, so I don't think we even have to go to Ukraine. I think we've got them right here. Just to ask Ralph Barrick if he had any trouble working on this whole project at the University of North Carolina. Eh? Huh?
That's right.
How many university labs have been used for this kind of work?
Well, didn't we just have a headline a month or two ago that one of the Colorado universities is going to be studying bat viruses?
It was Colorado State University, I think, Boulder, I think. Anyway, yes, correct. So
okay, I
RFK...
think it's BSL, I want to say 4, but
which would mean
they're working on...
That's moon suits.
Yes.
RFK Jr. continues to say a lot of really good things. It's very reminiscent of Trump in 2015, 2016. He's saying all the right things. Another headline today, it's been all over the place now. RFK Jr. confirms that the U.S. is developing bioweapons in Ukraine laboratories. Well, we are, and the Russians are eminently aware of that. What if Russia had, in northern Mexico, i.e. just across the alleged border, 30 or 40 bioweapons research labs? I think that you'd see the communists and fascists in Washington go crazy. And a lot of the American people could be whipped into a frenzy of fear. It's like, it's a Cuban Missile Crisis. They put missiles in Cuba. In fact, I think the Russians have every right to put missiles back in Cuba if they're so invited. They are building at least two, cruise missile bases in Nicaragua. which
Nice.
are easily directed to hit the U.S. All right? It's just a little flight across the Gulf of Mexico, and they have long range. So they're building air bases, plural, in Nicaragua. That's going to be fun. The Russians are really facing a very serious threat, and don't put anything off the table when it comes to them defending themselves. Lots of ways to defend themselves. They have every right to. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has confirmed to Tucker Carlson that the U.S. is indeed developing bioweapons in Ukraine-based laboratories. The Democratic presidential candidate disclosed this to Tucker on his program Tucker on Twitter. He went on to say, "We have biolabs in Ukraine because we're developing bioweapons. These bioweapons are using all kinds of new synthetic biology, CRISPR technology, and genetic engineering techniques that were not available to the previous generation. They can make frightening, frightening stuff," said Robert F. Kennedy in the understatement of the day. He also said that the DOD began putting a lot of money into bioweapons when the biological weapons armories were reopened in 2001 under the Patriot Act. However, the DOD was, quote, nervous at that time, end quote, about violating the Geneva Convention that bans such weapons. Do you know there's actually a rule against bioweapons, friends? There is. Who cares? No one pays attention to rules, laws, treaties, agreements. He also said, so they transferred the authority for biosecurity to one agency in the HHS, Health and Human Services, called the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, run by Tony Fauci. Fauci got all the responsibility for bioweapons development. He got that time and a 68% raise from the Pentagon in order to do that work. And that's why he was the highest paid official in the American government, RFK said. It goes on from there. We'll have the story for you up and you can follow it along. But I think his point is good, but he misses the entirety of the barn with a shotgun. This crap is going on right here. Right here.
Sure is.
And what propels most universities? Science. Grants. It's all
money.
Grants. They're horrors, okay? They'll do anything for the money. And just remember that most military weapons systems at some point work their way through a university system or science or physics department or something like that. They do field work. They do research for the military-industrial complex. That's what most big-time universities end up doing. Lots of different angles. Now, as you all know, within, we think, about 3 weeks, thereabout, they're going to roll out this new bivalent booster, which has nothing to do with the current, well, recent current variant that they're supposedly worried about, Omicron, or an offspring of Omicron, or the XBB variant. That's, I think the coming booster is, yes, it's designed to tackle the XBB variant, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, one of them, there's now multiple, but at least one
right.
of them, but regardless.
Well, that's been named, but they're not talking about Eris, the newest one. That's not covered, apparently, by this new booster, which was not tested by any normal means against any normal test group of mice, monkeys, or whatever.
They just declared it competent. Not quality controlled, not verified.
Now, we're already seeing, and I've run a number of stories about this, the old COVID restrictions reimposed, reinstated. State offices, some are doing it already, some private corporations. A number of universities have said that all students must now wear masks, practice social distancing, etc. So they're setting us up, obviously, for another tsunami of fear which they hope will force the public to line up and roll up their sleeves. That's what they want. They're working on it.
I would just say this. They're attempting it already to have another go at this. But in the last 2 years, there have been many, many court cases filed, some of which have gone on to the Supreme Court for these egregious violations that took place during the pandemic, the business closures, the forcing people to wear masks, prohibiting people from peaceful assembly or religious assembly. Many cases have been filed, and a few have come down from the Supreme Court and have found in the favor of the plaintiff.
Right. Well, they're not denigrating the Constitution fully yet, but yes, you're right.
Well, I mean, the significance is that there is a precedent-setting ruling on some of these that can be used at the local level if enough people want to enforce it. And the means of doing that would be to put the attorneys, the city attorneys, county attorneys on notice that they are not fulfilling their fiduciary duty of upholding and defending the Constitution, because these acts and ordinances and mandates have been determined to be unconstitutional, and there is no local ordinance that can override that in these instances, and it's very clear about that. And the wording is such that it's fairly broad, so that it could be applied to not just, for instance, masks, but also injections. So I would use that to your advantage to stand up against this, push
back.
Well,
these are Supreme Court legal precedents, and you should use them, and they're there.
Yes.
I don't see them being pushed around on the alt news.
Oh, and you
platform.
Won't. They don't want
because it's not,
people to
no,
be empowered with this sort of information.
Of course not. Yep, that's what they do. All right. So when you hear Bobby Kennedy talking about bioweapons labs in Ukraine, it's happening right here, okay? Yes, it's going on there. No, it doesn't make the Russians feel comfortable. Yes, they have ethno-specific weapons that they have already developed, which can be geared toward the genetics of Slavic peoples, of Asian peoples, of Indian, Pakistani peoples, of Caucasian peoples, of any color you want. They can do it. It's not a problem anymore. 20 years ago, whole different world. They can do almost anything now. It's that crazy.
Well, they can manipulate this genetic material and customize it so that it has very specific effects and possibly, you know, for sure, in particular individuals or groups of individuals. And because it's on that scale and very few people have access to the appropriate instrumentation to be able to test for it, we're just left with guessing.
And then there are those shill mouthpieces out there saying, ethnic-specific weapons? You're crazy. They can't do that. And then the sheep buy it. They'll eat it up. Depends on who's saying it. I've seen that in the last 6 months, 2-3 times. They just renounce it. Can't be. It's not possible. It's more than possible.
It is possible. It is. And that's been a focus. All this collection of people's DNA over the past 10 years, the 23andMe and the Ancestry.com, and what do you think they were doing with that? They wouldn't necessarily be targeting one person, but collectively, you know, you feed that into a computer and you get a picture of...
It's just like social media. Remember that they claim it was a parody. It was a Senate hearing or a House hearing, and some alleged bigwig in one of the intel agencies was testifying, and he said we couldn't believe it when people started publishing everything we really needed about them in their social media accounts. They did all the work for us, and they claimed it was a parody. Well, it's certainly right on the money parody. If it was a parody, I'm not sure that it was. At any rate, this whole social media thing, people have given away all their security, all their privacy. They've given it away. They don't care. I understand why they're beaten up. I understand. I get that. So here's the deal. shedding, transmission, whatever you want to call it, is more than real, as we've well established here for well over 2 years. It's getting worse. We think it's getting worse. That means you need, if you're taking precautions, to double down on your precautions. And these people who continue to mock masks and simple social distancing, the 6 feet rule is stupid. It should be 10 or 12. If you're going to keep your distance, keep your distance. 10 feet. And keep in mind also that aerosolized micro droplets float in the air almost indefinitely. So that's what a mask does. Yes, we understand that viruses are smaller than the smallest hole or in the texture of a mask. But the point is, viruses often float around attached to something as a micro droplet, as something else. So they're bigger than just a virus, for example. So when they try to pass through a mask, they get stuck, especially if it's a micro droplet. It's moist, and it'll stick to the fibers it encounters. And if you have a good mask with two or three layers, you're going to be pretty good shape. Even if it gives you only a 10-15% improvement in your security and safety, take it. Take it. Now, I saw a woman in a store Monday. It was Monday. Was it Monday? Monday. And she had a full head double respirator mask on. Not just up to her nose. She had it covered up to her forehead. And a double replaceable filter, one on each side. And it looked like an audio. She could speak and it would vibrate. You could hear her voice, whatever. That looked pretty smart to me. Now, don't laugh. That didn't look dumb at all, given what's coming. And we don't know what's coming, and that's why I'm sounding a simple alarm. Be aware. Now
Erica, that's somebody that I'm going to guess is extremely affected by the smells.
Well,
and have to resort to more of a gas mask to deal with it.
Right.
I mean, we have people right now that are they cannot leave their homes without being bowled over by these smells.
Well, if I see the person again, I will ask. But you may be right. That's certainly possible. And I think these people who are hypersensitized to odors now may end up having to do just that, a full face mask. A half face mask does cover your nose, but your eyes are open and they're perfectly amenable to accepting all kinds of things to take into your body. So they are vectors.
That's true. The eyes can be a port of entry for viruses, bacteria.
I always thought they were portals to the soul.
That
Never
too.
Mind now. Okay, let's take a look at this story that you found. Think about aerosolized transmission, about all body fluids giving off spike, and we don't know for sure what else, but there are probably several what else's there. All body fluids, certainly sexual relations, are now deadly. They can be deadly. Let me phrase it correctly. So you're really not wise engaging in those practices anymore. Not now. Not until we figure this all out. Put it on the shelf. Forget it. And that goes for men and women. Forget it. All right. There was an incident in a grocery store that you told me about, and it reminded me about what I saw after the Wuhan fear, we'll call it, was released in the media. And I remember one video of some woman, a Chinese woman. This is in I might have been Wuhan. I don't know. But she was going down the street. And I think she was spitting in her hands, rubbing them, and then touching every car door handle on the driver's side as she walked down the street. She was rubbing on the door handle. Was she rubbing spike on the door handle? I don't know. But she was doing something that was not nice. There was another one I saw. It was inside of an elevator, and somebody rubbed all of the elevator keys. It was another woman. She was the only one in the elevator. She was rubbing, trying to transmit something. I think it was the coronavirus at the time. to people who push elevator buttons. So you had car handles, you got elevator buttons, you could have steering wheels. They can release and instigate any number of diseases, viral, bacterial, it doesn't matter, simply by touch now. Your skin is not a barrier. It's wide open to penetration. So that's going on. Now, you had another observation. You saw something somewhere. What was it? Somebody else spreading stuff or trying to. And
yes,
then we'll get into the grocery store. Man, there's one other thing, wasn't there?
No, I didn't watch a lot of that early footage out of Wuhan.
Wasn't there something recent that you saw? We can go right to the grocery store then. That's fine. It's okay. All right,
I haven't seen anything lately. I mean, I've been wearing gloves now for over a year since I had that shingles exposure.
Has that been a year?
Yeah. It very likely came from the handle of a shopping cart or shopping basket. Based on, this stuff was on my fingertips and the palm of my hand and then went up one particular arm. I didn't know what it was at first, but then it was, with time it became obvious. And the nerves were inflamed. So I don't know if whoever had handled that basket earlier before me had a shingles or chicken pox. The shingles vaccine is supposedly dead, inactivated, but the chicken pox is a live virus vaccine that they're giving to kids. I don't know. Or spike, because we know the spike can affect people's immune system in such a way that your own herpes viruses, and there's 8 of them, can become reactivated. But it's clear, they're not sanitizing things the way they were in the middle of the pandemic.
No. Hundreds of people touch those shopping cart handles. So listen to what she's saying. I have 2 pair of cotton gloves in the car, so I always have gloves and a mask. It's common sense.
Well, right now it is.
About it.
There's just too many people having these horrific experiences from being around the vax unknowingly at the time and really suffering gravely for it. And there are people that are still debilitated a year after one of these shedding incidents.
Yep. And that's something you'll never see on the mainstream media and most of the alt media. You won't see
it. That's right.
All right, there's 4 pieces to this. Shall I do the first one? You do the other 3? What do you want to do?
That's
you
fine.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Does anyone recall a video from the beginning of the pandemic that was taken on the West Coast of a Chinese woman touching all the laptops and iPads in a retail store and closing them so they would be touched where she touched them upon opening? Well, I just experienced this at a Trader Joe's. I wanted to get some Kerrygold butter, and as I approached the butter section, there was an employee stocking the dairy, watching incredulously, an employee standing by staring, watching, as a Chinese woman, without any shopping cart or basket, picked up every single butter cube and rubbed it all around with her hands, and then restocked it in a new row. Now, what he just said, or she, there was an employee watching this, staring incredulously, and did nothing. While she was doing this, she had her earbuds in her ear connected to her phone, and spoke fairly loudly in the phone, so no one could ask her what she was doing. I wish I would have thought to get my phone out and film this. Stupidly, I asked the employee to grab me butter from the back of the roll. But she may have already touched that part anyway. Wish I had not bought any of that butter. I don't shop that often due to shedding, and it was on my list to get. So I got the butter. Please be aware and try to catch this on video if you see it and get it out there. So infuriating, so unbelievable, too, that if you are a quiet person like me, you tend to quietly process what you are seeing instead of drawing attention to the situation as I wish I would have done? All right, some replies. Go ahead.
She continues in another paragraph. So I had a slight burn on my thumb from cooking from probably 4 days ago or so. Ever since I got home from this experience, that thumb from the hand that took the butter from the clerk is extremely painful, throbbing, and swollen. I tried dipping it in MMS water, ice, now castor oil pack. Any other ideas, guys?
Wow, that's quite a reaction.
Yeah, someone recommends...
It seemed like it.
Aloe vera works on burns like magic. It's always my go-to for burns. And this person replies, the weird thing is, this burn is days old. I didn't even have to put it under cold water when it happened. I've been digging up potatoes in my garden and doing all kinds of things with no issues until picking up that stupid butter right after that lady wiped it all down. My thumb feels like I just burned it and hit it with a hammer. It is red and swollen.
This is really weird. That's not good.
Yeah, it is weird. And then the last comment on this, and when I asked him to grab for me at the back, his response was, they all had the same date. He obviously thought what she was doing was really strange, but he didn't think beyond that. Well, yeah, on the lookout for that behavior. So, that is sort of that burning, throbbing feeling is, I'm going to guess, the start of shingles.
Sounds like it to me. I mean, what does the employee think, that she's checking expiration dates? Come on. The guy should have bagged that woman immediately.
Yeah.
Called the manager.
Yeah.
Well,
you had
bad.
Someone, when you were testing slabs of meat with the magnet.
Yeah.
Didn't someone, an employee, say something?
Oh, yeah. Some woman was watching me, and she went and got an employee, and she said, he's messing around with the meat.
See, that's, good. People are watching.
Well, I was almost arrested.
This is highly suspicious.
Bad. Yeah, it's bad. For you newcomers, I took a magnet in to see if meat, as they've been saying, is magnetized, and some of it was. Anyway, that's a very disgusting story. It's just a Chinese woman. We've got 5.4 million of them here. I am told by reliable sources that no Chinese are given access to transit to the United States from China unless they're members of the CCP. What does that tell you? That's all you need to know. They're under the employment of and the orders of the Chinese Communist Party, PLA, the People's Liberation Army. They're here. There's 5.4 million of them. If they want to cause us trouble, no problem. None at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it makes a case for, using gloves when you shop.
Absolutely. Let me find my... Here it is. All right. Sherry Tenpenny was on Greg Hunter. And some highlights in here we want to play for you and comment. She starts out talking about how she had her license suspended. It kind of recaps that. So we're not going to do that again. We've already done that. But let's listen to Dr. Tenpenny as she says some things which we don't agree with, but that's her belief. Then she'll get into some more things that are even, I think, more important. So here we go.
No, I'm not going to do that. And now with this reactivation of what they're trying to do with this this nonsensical stuff on this BA.2.86 variant that, oh, my gosh, we've already got colleges that are shutting down, putting on masks, social distancing, self-quarantining. I just really hope, Greg, that in the last 2.5 years between what you've done, what I've done, what, Barbara Lowe Fisher and the NBIC have done, and on and on and on, how many of us have been saying this masks don't work, social distancing is a high school girls' science project nonsense, cramming Q-tips repeatedly up the nose of healthy people is a sign of mental illness, all of the deaths associated with these shots and all of the disability, you know, when Ed...
All right, let me just pause real quick there. Again, she's done a great job. We completely disagree on the mask issue. We're not talking about wearing them all day, 8 hours at work, and breathing your own bacterial carbon dioxide waste. Talking about putting them on to go into a store for 15 or 20 minutes when you have to be around other people who are exhaling spike protein for sure, and it's hanging in the air. It's on every surface you can imagine, every horizontal surface, because if it settles down, it settles down on a horizontal surface. It doesn't settle down on a vertical surface, so remember that too. And that we do think that common sense, if someone's coughing, you don't want to be 2 feet away from them. You get 8 or 10 feet away. In fact, you get a lot further than that if you have the option. You don't want to be around somebody who's coughing. And even if they're not coughing, they're still exhaling potentially very difficult issues, such as spike protein. Okay, that's just for openers. Anything to add real quick?
No, that's good.
Here we go.
Dowd said that the disability numbers are 11 standard deviations above the norm. With all of this, that we've got colleges, and now they've already notified the TSA that we've got to start wearing masks again. They're going to try to shut down businesses and further cripple and destroy this country. I hope it's time that at least 50 million people stand up and say, not doing it. Not doing it. I'm not going to put on a face diaper. I'm not going to social distance. I am not going to lay off my staff and close my businesses again. I'm not doing it.
I have a question. Honestly, given what we know about shedding, she's saying pay no attention to how close you are to your fellow human beings. 2 feet, 3 feet, a group, whatever. I don't think that's very sensible. She obviously doesn't understand about shedding in the way that we do, and most of you do, or she's in denial about it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't speak for her. But I think this is just wrong. Common sense, let's say we're at the height of flu season. Wouldn't you rather be 10 feet away from somebody coughing or sneezing in a store than 2 feet away? That's called social distancing. It's called health distancing. And it certainly wouldn't hurt to wear a mask, would it?
So, well, I think the issue, though, is having these things forced on people.
That's right. That's exactly right.
People need to decide for themselves what is right for themselves. It should be a government mandate.
It should be an informed decision. That's what we've always pushed for. Yes, mandating behaviors is not the American way. All right.
No, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice is not going to happen.
Wow. You think that they're going to go full bore, full into it. I think what they want to get to is mail-in voting because it worked so well last time.
But they're a little ahead of the curve. Voting isn't until November of next year. So they're trying to do this now. This is just more intimidation. It's more power grab. It's more destruction of the American economy so that we will accept the central bank digital currency, so that we will accept the microchipping that they want to do, that we will hunker down. And if we want to eat and keep your house, then you're going to behave. And it's just time for nonviolent civil disobedience to just say not only no, but heck no.
Oh, you think so? You think they're losing? There's bad stuff coming in the economy. I mean, you have Michael Burry, who was the Big Short the last time in 08. Of course, he was mocked because he was early, but he was right. Very right. I think he took up $800 million and turned it into $2 billion. But he's shorting the market, been shorting since June. Something bad's coming. And you think this is just, they've got to rush towards the control. They're not about the election. It's about, they feel a need to have control. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Explain.
It's just, I was told by somebody supposedly in the know that back in 2020, when the World Economic Forum, instituted all of these shutdown, lockdown, mask mandates, remember it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yes.
We got every single country in America, including island countries like the Seychelles or Tonga that are out in the middle of nowhere, to comply with this. We got every single country in the world. I was told by somebody that was pretty much in the know that this was just another market test, another market trial balloon to see how far down the path we were to total control and total subjugation of the world. We had had SARS in 2002. We had bird flu in 2005. We had H1N1 in 2011. And this was just another trial balloon. And when America rolled over and shut down and shut up and put on a mask and started masking two-year-olds and doing all the destructive things that happened in school, that was an open door, that there was no blowback from anybody, and not even the generally really strong, patriotic, sovereign types of people in America. When America rolled over, they said, power down. Now is our opportunity to move in the entire global economy, the one world religion, one world government, one world money. I mean, now is the time, because we have a window of opportunity and we're going to take every inch that we can get. And they did. This is just the next level of wondering how much more control can they get? How are there still going to be people that are still going to roll over? I mean, I wrote in my Substack, you know, my Substack is drtenpenny.substack.com. It's called Eye on the Evidence. I release it every Saturday morning. And the first sentence is, the powers that be are going to push the fear button over and over and over again to see how many are willing to go along with their propaganda. Unfortunately, it will probably be more than a few. And I've already started seeing people start wearing masks. They've never gone away. I mean, you still could go to the airport and some restaurants and some people in shopping malls, or occasionally you would still see a person wearing a mask when they're outside walking their dog. It never really went away. And like I wrote in my Substack, I said, I've had several friends say to me, when they watch people walk their dog or drive their car with a mask on, you can't fix stupid, and I've stopped trying.
Okay. Point is a good one. You don't wear a mask in a car. You don't wear it when you're out walking in the sunshine. We got that. But if you're in close quarters with dozens, scores, or more of people who are breathing, exhaling, sweating, touching, bumping up to each other, what's wrong with keeping your distance? What's wrong with wearing a mask? Nothing. In fact, it's a good idea. If you look at the bottom of the homepage graphics, we've got top and bottom. The bottom splash is a slideshow. And the fourth slide in shows influenza from 2020 to 2021. It's virtually gone. It just vanished. And then it's making a comeback. Where did it go? It didn't go anywhere. They just relabeled it. You all know the game. They called it COVID. Much of that was flu. And then they took people in and gave them remdesivir, destroyed their kidneys, flooded their lungs, put them on a ventilator, and choked them to death. That's called mass murder. It's called a Holocaust. That's
and even
what
then,
happened.
Even then,
What do you feel about?
There were no excess deaths.
What's the saying about masks?
What's that?
What do you feel about what she's saying about masks?
Oh, well, I think she makes very good points, and I'm in agreement with everything she said, but she's not acknowledging that this isn't just a regular flu. They've unleashed a bioweapon on us. It's taking people out. And I think, you know, to ignore that would be foolish.
And a mask can give you an advantage over people who don't have a mask on. It's not perfect. We get that. But what would you rather have? Bioweapon being dumped into your system or not? Or influenza being dumped into your system or not? I'd rather not have the flu, thank you. And with all these people out there with airborne AIDS now, and that's what being injected is really all about, you've got AIDS, and you can pass it to other people. All these people with AIDS out there have very low immune competence, and they're going to pick up everything. There, I think that this timing is really of concern, and we've talked about this. You had some really interesting observations about the timing of this new booster and the fear porn they're starting to flood the media with, and what the goal of it is. What do you think?
I think they're anticipating that there will be strong resistance to more lockdowns and all this other nonsense that we went through 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And there will be reprisals for areas of the country that are making things difficult, let's put it that way. And they're going to release something. That's a given. I whether it's coming through a needle, whether it's somehow aerosolized, and then, you know, given the fact that many of these people who have taken the injection, and even some who haven't taken the injection, are immune suppressed now, it could be lethal.
Airborne AIDS and a so-called vaccine that is clearly oncogenic, among many other things. Prions in the brain, we haven't talked much about those. They're being formed. Any kind of misfolded protein, often prions, and they go right into the brain. They don't.
This virus and then the spike protein does have some affinity, maybe a substantial affinity for neurological tissue. It does pass through the blood-brain barrier,
right? Oh, yeah.
And inflames the brain wherever it goes. And you know, and the really alarming thing, astonishing thing, was that study that found that it actually enters the brain not through the normal channels, although it does, but also through the skull, the meninges in the skull. It gets into the circulation and then kind of seeps through the layers of the skull and then into the brain.
Oh, it's not a joke. None of this is a joke. All right, here's a little bit more with Dr. Tenpenny.
You know what I think to myself? Thank you for telling me you're fully vaxxed and boosted and you're shedding, so I need to stay away from you. Because these people are... I really think that they're... And this is the last frontier, and I don't really have good data. And this always happens with injuries of the brain and things that go wrong with the brain. Sushrat Bhakti was talking about how this changes the very essence of who you are. He was the top virologist and microbiologist in the world. They tried to get him on anti-Semitism charges, tried to shut him up too, but they failed. But there's a last final frontier, the brain, and we won't know what happens to the brain. I mean, we know about pericarditis and myocarditis and blood clots all the other autoimmune disease, and your immune system's destroyed, and turbo cancers, the brain. Don't we have a big component of the brain that we don't really know what's happening to some people with these shots?
You know, back in 2021, Greg, I did a two-part webinar. I did one in May, and I did a follow-up one in July called The 40 Mechanisms of Injury, How the COVID Shots Can Make You Sick or Kill You.
Yes, I think I posted that. Yes.
Yeah, and part of that was how the spike protein can cross the blood-brain barrier, accelerate Parkinson's, accelerate Alzheimer's, and can cause an infolding in some of the proteins in the frontal lobe of your brain. Your frontal lobe lives behind your forehead, and that's the part of your brain that helps you emotionally. It helps you to, like, facial recognition. It helps with a lot of being able to understand what's kind of going on in the world. And the spike protein could go in and infold on those brains and proteins and cause a form of dementia. And I think that what we're seeing in some of these zombie-like people that have had, you know, double shots, 2, 3, 4 boosters, that there's just like lights on and nobody there, or they're acting very very aggressively and very angry, I think it's because they've had all of these shots. And the spike protein and whatever else has been in there, whether it's graphene oxide, whether it's the hydrogel, whether it's the lipid nanoparticles, whether it's a whole bunch of ingredients that they have yet failed to identify, which is inside of these shots, are causing brain dysfunction and brain disruption. And I don't think that's healable. I don't think that's anything that you can do to make it better. In fact, as long as I've been talking about problems associated with vaccination, I've always said that once you vaccinate, you cannot unvaccinate. And that
okay, agree with that. You can't detox this stuff out of your system. It's not that kind of a problem. It's a whole different problem. So we'll stop there, but the video's up there. You can see it. It's in the headlines.
And just for the record, she made this clarification. The Ohio State Medical Board has suspended her license, not revoked it. Mm-hmm. And it was not for anything having to do with the quality of her care or competence or anything like that. It was what they say, a failure to answer.
It was procedural stuff, bureaucratic crap.
Yeah. I mean, they really had nothing in terms of her qualifications to take issue with.
Right.
Her business, she has three businesses, two in Ohio, one in California, clinics. They're all still open and
She's carrying on,
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, for those of you who like to take a look at the long-haul picture and talk about predictive programming, it's out there. They do tell us in advance, in many, many cases, what's coming. It's in there, and it's usually embedded and folded in the entertainment media. Movies, television, whatever. Now, I've been watching for years, like many of you, X-Files, and I have seen any number of predictive programming plot lines. Really, they're there. And if you remember the one episode, you X-Files fans, where Assistant Director Skinner came down with something. He was boxing at the gym, and the next thing he knew, he was passing out and found himself in the ICU. And then his veins began to become pronounced on the surface of his skin, on his arms, his legs, his chest, his face. And they were carrying blood that was almost black. It wasn't red blood. It wasn't slightly dark. It was blue-black. And I said, wow, that's pretty wild. So they did a blood draw on him when he was in ICU. And Scully and the hospital chief doctor went in and were looking at the blood, and they saw normal blood cells, and then they saw on the screen countless thousands of little tiny round things that shouldn't be there in the blood sample. And they enlarged the little round items. Guess what they look like? Exactly like the spike protein. This is 1998, and the doctors attending Assistant Director Skinner were saying that this man's not going to make it. His entire blood supply, his circulatory system has turned against him. And Scully and the hospital doctor, while looking at this screen, made the observation that what they were seeing on the screen were these little spike proteins, although they didn't call them that, building lattice work, which was causing clotting all throughout his body.
Mm.
Does that sound familiar to anyone out there?
That's incredible.
Spike proteins attaching to your endothelial cells?
And forming
blockages.
Fibrils.
Fibrils all pulled together, which turn into amyloid clot formations. It was an absolute perfect overlay. And now, was that an accident in 1998? Or was Chris Carter, as many people have said, fed a number of plot lines from the deep state or the intel community back then, or whomever, that were to be incorporated into the storylines? There have been many. I've told Eric about several that I've seen just recently. And
that was like 20 years ago, right? 20?
It's almost 30.
Wow.
1998.
Jeez.
So
and
that's called predictive programming. And
sure is.
Just for fun, again, these looked exactly like spike proteins. You can go back and look at the episode. I don't remember the name of it. But the guy that was he was coordinating the attack on Assistant Director Skinner, who had been given these objects. And guess how he was infected with these objects? Somebody came by in the hall wearing gloves and grabbed his hand and said, "Do you have the time, sir?" Went right through his skin. That's how he was infected.
Wow.
Touch. Touch. And the amount of activity of the spike proteins in Skinner's body was being controlled by someone 30 feet away sometimes, away from his hospital room, with a cell phone-like device that was emitting some kind of EMF frequency that would cause these spike proteins to become hyperactive. And the distress of Skinner went through the roof. And as he turned it down, it would lessen the impact. So we're talking about the possibility of things like 5G impacting, controlling this, influencing this whole thing somehow in some way. But it was all there in that episode, 1998. All there. There's more I didn't catch at all, but you got the idea, I think.
Uncanny.
So, oh, yeah. It was, I was laughing, chuckling out loud. Just chuckling. Because that was no accident. No chance.
No.
No. And there have been other things as equally as outrageous as that. So there was a lot built into the X-Files about shades of things to come. And here we are.
So was he able to get an antidote, or how did they treat him?
The guy that was running the little cell phone-like device that kept turning it up and increasing the spike damage and then turning it down, turned it down to zero and met him when he got better and he went home. And when he got out of the hospital, he got into his car. And the guy was sitting in the back seat. This is a well-known character in the plot. And he said, "It's gone now. Don't worry. You're okay for now. But it's shades of things to come. In other words, if you step out of line, we've got you."
Wow.
So, yeah, it was quite an episode. All right, again, for all of you out there, it's the one where Skinner was boxing in a gym just for an exercise workout, and he was stricken at that point after earlier in the day having his hand grabbed by somebody in the hall of the FBI headquarters building. So, "Do you have the time, sir?" And the guy grabbed his hand. That's all it took. So this stuff is easily transmissible through any number of means: doorknobs, shopping carts, wherever this complimentary touch. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's all
And
crazy.
We've had examples of that. You know, the handshakes, the cheek-to-cheek.
Kiss on the
hello,
cheek.
Hello, goodbye.
Hugs. That's
yep.
right.
Yep.
So it was all foretold. It was all there. So anyhow, pretty wild. All right, anything that we've missed here you want to real quickly tag here?
No. We'll get to some of those readers maybe Friday.
All right, we will. We have some good ones. Well, maybe Wednesday. Oh, it is Wednesday. Jeez. Oh, man. All right. That shows you where my head is. Okay, thank you. Great job.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
All right, gang. Be right back with hour number 3.